Let's all stand to our feet, shall we, with Bible in hand, as our Bibles will open up to the book Revelation chapter 18, verses 22 through 24, and then Revelation 19, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 7. Listen to God's word. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer, and no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a meal will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because of all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. Chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to God. Verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah! And a voice came from the throne, saying, Give praise to our God, all ye his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The unveiling. Let's bow heads in a word of prayer. Father, we are humbled to be in your presence because of your magnificence, your goodness, your beauty, your love, your mercies, and most of all, because of your Son, Jesus. And so, Father, in the spirit of humility, we pray that you help us to understand the unveiling. For, Father, we trust and believe is the unveiling of your love toward us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ladies, do you still have your wedding veils, perhaps securely tucked away in a family heirloom to pass down from generation to generation, conveying the message of the sanctity of marriage? How beautiful the veiling of an infant girl at her christening. How beautiful the veiling of a young girl at her first Holy Communion. You see, it's our long Christian tradition that the wedding veil is holy. A token of the Holy Covenant. It is a holy marker of virtue, humility, dignity, and holiness. And who unveils the bride? None other than the groom. Perhaps now you get it. The proper title of the book of Revelation is The Apocalypse, The Unveiling. In this book, the heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is finally unveiling his bride. And this unveiling is so long awaited. He has been betrothed to her for over 2,000 years. And for more than 2,000 years, he's been preparing a place for his bride. And for more than 2,000 years, the bride has been preparing herself for the marriage supper of the Lamb. No expense has been spared. The marriage supper of the Lamb has arrived. Let the nuptials begin. But wait, hit the pause button. Before you can see the bride, the angel of the Lord must show us the harlot. Pastor Bob, that's all fine and good, but what does any of this have to do with my life, my day-to-day, my realities and challenges of my personal life? Beloved, if you care to, you can jot this down. Sometimes the Lord must show us what we could have been, except for his grace. Let the church say amen. Sometimes the Lord must show us what we could have been, except and apart from his grace. You see, we could have been caught up, wrapped up, following the course of this world, having the same sentiments, desires, and the pursuits of this adulterous generation. But there's something true of each and every one of us here this morning. Somebody prayed for you, and angels of God watched over you. You see, Babylon, the great city, at the end of chapter 17, has made such a mockery of holy matrimony that God laicized, removed any and all authority from the great city to ever perform any ceremonies again at the end of chapter 17. And I'm here to tell you, in recent years, man has been making such a mockery of holy matrimony. Look at verse number 23. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And listen, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. God was stripping the great city of all authority to ever perform a wedding ceremony again. You see, beloved, before you have the nuptial ceremony in chapter 19, God shuts down the circus in chapter 18. And it all begs the question, let me ask, men, where are your wedding bands? Ladies, where are your wedding veils? What's the point? Your marriage is intended to prepare you for the union of Christ at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You see, marriage is not just a personality thing. You see, sometimes couples, they come to a point, their personalities may clash, their ambitions may clash, their interests may clash, and if you would, irreconcilable differences, we just can't get along. But I'm here to tell you that marriage is not a personality thing, it's a God thing. You see, in chapter 18, there's the unveiling of God's justice. And in chapter 19, there is the unveiling of God's grace. How many of you believe God is gracious? Raise both hands before the Lord. Amen. And this morning's message, the unveiling, Christ unveils point number one, his bride is immaculate. His bride is immaculate. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Jesus unveils that his bride is immaculate. You see, men, priority number one for every husband is the following. It is not to have a happy marriage, it's to have a holy marriage. The man must sanctify his wife. That means he must set her apart to be holy. He must pray with her, read the scriptures with her, honor her, cherish her, sacrifice for her. You see, men, you are the priests of your home. And what is the duty of a priest? The duties of the priest are to make things and persons holy. You're in that home. That is your station in life. That is your vocation, your calling under God. And at your station, in your vocation, God has called you to be a priest to make everything holy in your house and everyone in your house holy. That's why you dedicate and have a house blessing, so that everything in the house may be holy. Let the church say amen. But you just don't have a house blessing, but you come to the marriage altar so that God might bless you and bless your spouse, so that the two of you, the blessings of holiness might rest upon you. Your vocation is the vocation of a priest to make things and persons holy, even your wife. You say, well, Pastor, I'm sick and tired of my wife. You don't know what I've been through. Pastor, I've been trying for 15 years, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years. I've been married 41 and a half years. I know what it's like. Let the church say amen. I have a wonderful wife. I better say so, because I got to go home. I got to go home once I leave here. I have a wonderful wife, beautiful wife. Couldn't handpick a better one. Let the church say amen. The doors will be unlocked when I get home this morning. You see, you are the priest of your home. The priest makes things and persons holy. For the last 2,000 years, listen to me, Jesus has been making his bride holy, which tells us what? You've got to be patient with your wife. It takes time to make people, persons, holy. You see, Christ's intentions towards his church that she be holy, that he gave his church apostles and bishops and pastor teachers and evangelists, all contributing to the perfecting of his bride. Being a husband is a holy work. You must be holy in order to make her holy. Where's the holiness? Where there is the holiness, there is the happiness. You see, there's the blessedness of holiness, virtue, sacrifice, unselfishness, maturity, fidelity, trustworthiness, goodwill, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. The bride is immaculate. You say, well, how can that be? You see, the first bride, God caused a deep sleep to come over Adam. From his side took a rib and made he the woman. And if you would, when Adam awoke out of his sleep, it was the unveiling of his bride. His bride was an immaculate virgin. Immaculate virgin, without spot or blemish. She was made by God for Adam. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. If Adam was worthy of a virgin, immaculate wife, how much more the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam? And the second Adam presented towards him, to him, is an immaculate bride, which is the church. But it became immaculate through his sacrifice upon the cross. Husbands, the way you make her holy is that you sacrifice your interest for her interest. Let the church say amen. Amen. The unveiling of the immaculate bride. Secondly, there's the unveiling of the indissolvable union. Jesus has told us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. As Christ's followers, God has called us to be covenant keepers. The Lord's veil. You see, there's the veiling of the bride, but the Lord also has a veil. You said, the Lord has a veil? Yes, the Lord has a veil. The Lord's body is his veil. His flesh is his veil. In other words, Christ has veiled himself in a flesh, in a human body, and through this union, we're joined unto him. We're made perfect through the union that we have in Jesus Christ, that we have been made the body of Jesus Christ. When you come to Christ, you enter the veil. You enter into his body, which is the church. You see, his flesh is his veil. In a Jewish ceremony, a Jewish man stands before a rabbi, and they stand under a canopy. And if you would, the Jewish man, he takes his robe and he drapes it over his bride. He veils his bride with his robe. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? Christ has veiled us with his very flesh. And beloved, I'm here to tell you, when you are in his body, you are made perfect. When you are in his body, you are made immaculate, because what Christ's body is, you are. You've been made holy through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and you have entered into his very body, his very flesh. You see, just as his immortal body cannot die, so too our union with Christ cannot die. It's indissolvable. It cannot be severed. His love is unfailing. There's the unveiling. The bride is immaculate, and there is the unveiling. The union is indissolvable. Now, finally, the groom is invincible. Look at chapter 19, verse number 6. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the omnipotent, reigns. Beloved, this is the crescendo. This is what all of human history and human salvation has been waiting for. You see, God holds his cards close to his vest, close to his breast, if you would, to his chest. You say, why? You see, the Bible opens with the wedding and it closes with the wedding. The whole purpose is that Genesis is a preview of what will be unveiled towards the very end of the Bible, the marriage supper of the Lamb. You see, the Lord God Almighty is omnipotent. He has destroyed Babylon, the great city, but now he unveils his bride. But there's something you need to know in antiquity, the differences between a harlot and a virtuous bride. You see, a harlot would veil themselves, and then the veil would be removed. She would remove her veil, and the harlot in antiquity would wear her name across her forehead. Her name was across her forehead, and that was the giveaway that she was a harlot. Beloved, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, God knoweth them which are his. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the very name of God has been given to you, and his name is upon you, and you do not belong to this world. You belong to your bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died to make you immaculate. He died to make you his very own. He doesn't want you to be condemned with the world, but he came to save you from this world, that you may be his. You see, there's a problem with us, and the problem is this. When we try to ascertain the purpose for marriage, we try to look at our human nature, our needs, our wants, to try to ascertain the purpose for marriage. And to some extent, that there is legitimacy in that. But marriage isn't simply about us. It's our union to God. You see, Christ became man so that we might be joined to God, which means this: there is the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Trinity, there is oneness in the Spirit. There is oneness of love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father loveth the Son, and the Son loveth the Father. And the love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. The love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. The love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. The love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you have been born of the Spirit so that you might join in the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God's intention has always been to make you one with him. And God has sent forth his apostles, his prophets, his bishops, his pastor teachers, his evangelists, and they are going all out seeking a bride for Jesus Christ. And the man of God is to make the appeal to you, to you, to you, to you, and to all who are here today. And the appeal is this: are you willing to take this man, God-man, Jesus Christ, as your lawfully wedded groom, husband? Do you? Do you? Do you take Christ as your own? You've been born of the Spirit to enter into the love of God, and that you have been made one with God. The unveiling. Men, where are your wedding bands? And women, where are your wedding veils? Let's stand and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this holy assembly, that God, that you have unveiled your great love towards us. And Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Christ, who was veiled in flesh. And upon the cross, his body was torn, if you would. The veil was torn in the temple, rent from top to bottom. And thank you, God, because the veil has been torn, we're able to enter behind the veil. We're able to enter into the very body of Christ, which is his church. Father, I pray for every man here today that they would be the priest you have so called them in this station and vocation of life, that they would be holy, that they would be patient, that they would sanctify their wives through the washing of the water of the word. And Father, I pray that it will resonate in the hearts of every young girl who desires almost from a toddler to be a princess of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that she quite doesn't understand, but you have intuitively, instinctively placed these royal desires in her heart to seek after you. So, Father, we pray that you would crown her with your love, with your forgiveness, and with your salvation. And, Father, help us, Lord, to be ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. We bless your name, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Every head is bowed, every eyes closed. The unveiling. The unveiling. You see, sometimes God must show us what we could have been apart from his grace and his mercy. Let the church say amen. That could have been us. We could have been Babylon. We could have been those caught up in the great city, caught up in the things of this world. But because someone prayed for you, and because the angels have been watching over you, you're not of this world, but you're now of Christ. And you ought to say, thank you, Lord. And now, Father, bless every heart that has listened, watched on today. In Jesus' name, amen.